Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, I'm Geoff Lacey.
And I'm Claire Venice.
We're back in the Petersphere
to bring you, once again, an on-location
Peapod.
Thank you for joining us this week in the Peapod. We've dusted off our microphones and stands to visit Bambino Baby and meet with owner Romy Hunt.
And continuing our family theme, we bring you a clip from Shine Radio's new pandemic parenting programme with young parents Emily and Ryan Watts.
With last week's Earth Day still in our minds, the Generation Green team are back, this time with environmental campaigner Katrina Coburn from the recently formed local charity PECAN.
John Walker from the Petersfield Post brings the latest local news as he takes Geoff for a birthday tipple. And Susie shares her 100th wild walk with us. That's a lot of walking.
Certainly is. And we end the show with a new single called Come On from fabulous South Sea singer Tash Hills.
If you love Petersfield...
I love the square.
It's a lovely, lovely town.
The hangers.
Everyone's welcome.
Then the Peapod loves you.
It's just a nice town.
Everything Petersfield is in the Peapod with Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey.
Well, hi, Geoff.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And all the better for seeing you in person.
I was going to say the same thing. Now, this is our first proper get-together since the week before Christmas.
Yeah. Proper Peapod out and about.
Out and about, yes. Well, we met a couple of weeks ago to interview at the Open Air Pool.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first recording where we've met up since December.
Just like old times.
It certainly is. How does it feel for you?
Well, you know, it's really great because there's no long pause between our Wi-Fi.
Yes.
It suddenly dawned on me, just doing the intro just then, that we haven't got a pause.
That is the first time we've synced Peapod for weeks and weeks.
The editors are going to be happy. It is. And we can actually make eye contact and we can chat and it'd be just normal. So,
yes.
So it's brilliant.
So, Claire, how's the last 7 days been for you?
Yeah, they've been busy, actually. You know, getting back into the swing of things. Back to school again with the kids and things like clubs starting again, swimming clubs and stuff like that. So it's been busy. I'm not sure if I like being quite as busy now as I used to be. How about you? Did you have a nice birthday?
It was a very nice birthday. It was my mother's birthday as well. So I had some quality time with her. Lovely Chinese delivered. We had a nice fire pit in the garden Saturday. And then we had a barbecue Sunday.
Is that the first one of the year?
First one of the year.
Ah, great.
No, I tell a lie. That is the second of the year. And we had some lovely steaks from...
Let me guess. Morgan's.
Correct.
Brilliant.
And I must say, now I'm not bigging myself up at all here, but I cooked them very, very well.
Well done, John.
The charcoal was nice and hot. I literally cooked the steaks for about 4 minutes, both sides, if that.
Mm.
And they were still moist in the middle. Ah.
Good birthday food,
good
by the sound of things.
Yes. But then back to work. So, hey.
But we're here tonight at Bambino Baby.
We are. We're in the lovely Pages Court and it looks fantastic, doesn't it?
It does. I've not been in the shop before because all my girls are grown up now, you know. They're not young ones anymore. But as Romy said, we had a chat setting up that, you know, you can buy presents for people with little ones, can't you? So
Yes. And I popped in a few weeks ago on the first day of reopening. And we'll ask Romy how that went. And that was the first time I'd been in here. But it's a lovely setting. And I can't wait to catch up with Romy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, have you been out and about yet in the evenings to a pub or other local hostelry?
I haven't.
Haven't you?
No, I haven't. Like I said, I've been at swimming pools. That's the extent of my going out and about.
Well, I met up with John, which we'll hear about later. And he bought me a birthday drink.
That was kind of it.
Yeah, it took me by surprise.
Well, after your Easter exchange, you know.
Well, that's it. I never got him back. He liked it so much, we might meet there again. That could be our regular catch-up.
That's a nice thing to do on a Sunday. If it's nice weather, you know, that's
very much
thing
so.
To do.
Very much outside. So. Now, Claire, I did a little bit of walking around town at the weekend. Okay, and I popped in to the Tattoo Lounge.
Our friends, Geoff and Gemma.
Geoff and Gemma. And I told them it was my birthday and it was that I was going to be 50 next year. And they said, what about a tattoo? I said, no, thank you. He said, I'll do it for free. We could do it for charity. Have whatever you like. I said, I'll think about it. So I went round to see my parents for my birthday. at my mum's birthday. And I told my mum, and she said, I will haunt you if you get one.
Oh, even a tattoo from Gentle Jeff.
Yeah.
he's tried to convince you before.
He has. I don't think it's for me.
Did they give you any suggestions about what you could possibly have?
No, but I no.
No, it's not. It's a no.
I think it's a no from me. But it was nice of them to offer.
That was really kind of them. I might pop in for my 50th then.
Oh, you've got years yet, though, haven't you?
That's right, years.
Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. So if you have a story you'd like us to cover or would just like to say hi, please get in touch. We're on 01730 555 500 or email team@shineradio.uk.
We're also featuring many of our local shops on Shine Radio in our spring Shop Local campaign. Now the shops are open again, it's good to support our local businesses. If you have a business you'd like to have mentioned in Shop Local, email team@shineradio.uk for further information and how to advertise.
Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey in Petersfield's Peapod.
Coming up, we speak to Romy Hunt from Bambino Baby, and Susie celebrates her centenary wild walk. But first, here's John Walker with the latest news from Petersfield and the surrounding villages. Once again, I've met up with John Walker, and today we're doing something a little different because it's my birthday. John has actually brought me to the townhouse where we're sat outside and having a nice pint. John, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Geoff, and it's lovely to see you on your... Is it your 49th?
49th, yes.
Yeah, 49 and never been kissed. That's what they say about you, isn't it?
All the time. So, John, it's a lovely day, and once again, the town is abuzz.
Oh, yeah, I think it is a lovely day, and that's brought the people out. It's very pleasant watching the world go by, having a pint of Guinness here with you on your 49th birthday.
Well, let's move on how old I am. As we're sat here, we're looking at the cars going by, but the bollards are still in place, and they've re-tarmacked or gritted Dragon Street, but left the cobbles, which are the main issue.
Well, yeah, as I mentioned to you earlier, it's a good job we don't live in Paris where they riot a lot, because if we did, those cobbles would be out and through someone's window quicker than that. It's just a mess. I mean, the bottom half of Dragon Street that they've resurfaced, if you like, was fine, if you ask me. It's a bit up at the junction, which the council have completely ignored. So for a car driver, the junction is a worry, I should imagine. I've just seen an ambulance go past, its front wheel sunk about 4 inches into a pothole as it carried on. Some poor patient in the back has now got a headache as well as an injury or whatever. Yes, the council in all its glory.
Now, as we walk down from the square where we first met today, this car had been pulled over by the police. Now, it looks like he was pulled over because he went through Busgate, as we like to call it. And one must say, he's probably the unlucky one.
Unlucky, because there were cars pouring through Busgate this morning with total gay abandon. And he was unfortunate to be pulled over by a police officer. In fact, he looked vaguely puzzled as to who this person was talking to him. I don't think he'd seen one for a while. Yeah, it's... The police officer was fairly jovial about it all. I heard him saying, you know, you really shouldn't go there, and the driver was saying in response, you know, it's not clear, it's not this, it's not that. It's been a thorn in my side and Geoff's, I know, because it is fairly clear, do not enter, and cars do ignore it. But there we go, I think until they officially close off the high street, say for Sundays, I mean, we're sat here now, there's no reason for the high street to be open on a Sunday, you know, from 9 o'clock in the morning to, say, 4 in the afternoon, you could have tables and chairs right across it, and it wouldn't interfere with the businesses. In fact, it would probably bring more people into town. But that's a decision that's... hopefully can be made sometime this year at some point.
Yeah, it's getting to the stage where the bollards now seem out of place. We've come out of lockdown again. The town, as I say, is alive, and the sun's out. It's really bringing the look of Petersfield down.
Yeah, it is. There's nobody likes big red and white bollards, particularly when you're having a pint of Guinness, because your natural temptation after it is to go and kick them over. But then we won't go back to when we were 20, walking around with bollards on our heads at 11 o'clock at night. It's a shame at this moment Petersfield sort of fallen between two stools, There's no real decision being made by any of the councils about what should be done. There is a petition out there at the moment that people could sign, which would see the square divided up into areas that could be used by the pubs. So they could put tables and chairs out there. And unlike Brexit, where it should be a yes or no, where it was a yes or no decision, I don't see there would be any harm in trying it for a couple of years or even one summer and then gauging people's opinion after that, which is perhaps what we should have done with Brexit. Try it for one summer and see how we felt.
Moving swiftly on from Brexit and all things politics. Now, John, what has grabbed your attention in the Petersphere this week?
Well, something that's struck me, I'm only bringing this topic up because I'm trying to buy a house. Well, I have bought a house this week, in the past week. I'm moving to Winchester Road. But what I have noticed is that, once again, house prices are rocketing. People aren't, you know, you put in an offer and you're gazumped straight away, almost. I was lucky to get the house I've got. Other people haven't been so lucky. It's all tied up with the stamp duty holiday and the fact that the government is now offering cut price mortgages. In other words, you don't have to have the 10% deposit they were so keen on a few years back when the dastardly banks had robbed us all. Sorry, Geoff.
Gonna put a disclaimer, that's nothing to do with me.
Even though you're 59 and you work 49 and worked through that period claiming the bonuses and the commission. That's fair point. So,
thank you very much.
No, I just think it's bizarre. This all ties in with a survey that showed that house prices are up to 40% more expensive once you live in a national park. I mean, I think everybody knew that, but now the government's come out and said it. So, you know, all added up, 300,000 for a two-bedroom maisonette along Cranford Road. Nice maisonette, don't get me wrong, but 300,000, really? The estate agents will tell you it's supply and demand. I think any industry that's led by commission is not going to be have everybody's best interests at heart, shall we say.
Now, we've both got teenagers, and you would hope that they may want to stay in the town or in the Petersphere as such, but the way it's going, they haven't got a cat and house chance of living in the town they were born in.
No, they haven't. And I think something that is very noticeable, that most young people these days who can buy a house do it through the bank of mum and dad, who will pay the deposit and help them get their first house. And maybe, I don't recall it being like that when I was a kid, I have to be honest. When I was 16, 17, oh, back in the day, Geoff, when it was all black and white and there was gas lamps.
Yeah, well, how many channels were there at the time?
On what, Geoff?
On the television. Was it, would have been just the three for you, wouldn't it?
I don't even know if we had a telly. I remember we bought a telly for the landing on the moon. I'm sure we've covered before. Anyway, no, I don't think kids these days have much of a hope in buying a place in or around Petersfield if they want to. When I say kids, I mean young adults who are married or in a relationship and want to start a family. And again, I know it's a thing of mine, but the councils under the government haven't helped matters by not building council houses. Affordable housing isn't. I mean, £350,000. That was 3-4 years ago for an affordable house, so-called. It's just wrong, I think, letting the private sector supply what should be a public sector requirement, which is houses. Councils should, that should be their prime activity. And if you take that out of the equation, what do the councils actually do? Empty your bins and badly maintain the roads.
And John, finally, what's going to be in the Petersfield Post this week?
Well, that's a very good question, John. As it happens, I've had the past few days off. There is a very interesting story about a couple of deer that got caught on barbed wire down Tilmore Road. I don't know, for those of you who haven't been up to Tilmore Road recently, if you go over the top, Tilmore Road, past the allotments and drop down the other side, there's a series of fields going across before you come into Tilmore Gardens. And there was a couple of deer down there, got caught up in barbed wire. And fortunately, the RSPCA got down there and released them eventually. But anyway, there's a happy ending. The deer got were released and went on to be fine. As for what else is in, I'm not 100% sure yet, Geoff, because I've had a couple of days off.
Well, John, you're looking very relaxed. Thank you very much for the birthday drink. You look after yourself, and we will catch up very, very soon, potentially next Sunday.
I think we can put that one in the diary, Geoff. Same time, same place, same Guinness, eh?
The Peaceful Post is out every Wednesday and costs 75 pence. A bargain! So please get one with your weekly shop or subscribe to the digital version.
Bambino Baby is a baby gift shop and baby wearing specialist in Pages Court. With a focus on natural materials, many of its products are sourced from local independent businesses.
Owner Romy Hunt is one of the UK's most experienced baby wearing consultants and joins us now. Hello, Romy.
Hello, Geoff.
How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Hi, Romy. Thanks so much for having us here. It's brilliant to be here and come out and do Peapods again live.
Oh, you're very welcome. I feel very privileged to be the first one of 2021.
You are. So how long have you owned Bambino Baby? How long has the shop been open here?
So I opened the shop on the 11th of July last year. So it's been open for 9.5 months. And yeah, so just a bit longer than a baby. It's been amazing. Obviously, I opened during the pandemic, but it's just been... I wish I'd done it years ago, to be honest. It only opened because of the pandemic. I would never had any plans to open a shop, but... yeah, circumstances meant that I felt that the shop was the only way I'd be able to still carry on helping people. And here we are. So, yeah.
But that must have been quite a scary thought to set up a business when no shops are open.
Yeah, I think people all thought I was slightly insane. I've been retailing baby carriers and working with baby wearing and everything for about 10 years. So it's not like it was completely new business, but I used to go to all the local baby groups. I used to go to places here. I went to places in Eastleigh, and I would go around and help people with either existing carriers or finding the right one for them. But obviously all of these things stopped last March, and everyone was still having babies and still needed my help, but they weren't able to access it. So I think it was the 4th of June. I thought, I'll have a look and see whether there's anywhere to rent. And then on the 8th, I viewed here, and at the end of June, I got the key. And then I opened on the 11th of July. So it was very, very quick.
That's quite an incredible story because, yeah, Geoff, as you said, that's a difficult time to open a shop. But for you, I imagine, it kept you busy during lockdowns, during the funny year that we had last year. But also for young parents to have a place to come to, or at least you to call up and have you to talk to them about, you know, anything to do with baby wearing stuff and gifts and things. So... must have been quite an interesting time to start the shop.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's been so difficult for everybody, obviously, the past year, but particularly new parents, which is a really scary time. It doesn't matter how prepared you think you are. Nothing could really prepare you for having a baby the first time. And obviously, with people not able to see their families, not having the support of baby groups and things, there's just been very little for parents. So this has become a bit of a hub, as well as being a shop, for places where people can come and they can sit and they can feed their baby, they can change their babies, they can come and meet other mums. And just by having somebody else who happens to be in the shop who maybe has experienced a similar problem, and so many people supporting each other, it's been lovely.
So how have you managed to reach out to parents, young parents and potential parents? Have you managed to reach out to let them know that you're here?
It's been the wonders of social media, to be honest, and word of mouth. I mean, I've helped a lot of parents since I've been moved back here nearly 5 years ago. I've obviously helped a lot of people already. So all of them always recommended me to other people. So I've had the word of mouth from them, and then just lots and lots of social media. People are probably really sick of seeing my posts on local groups and things, but it's just kind of just making people aware that I'm here and that it's not just a shop, it's a service. Which sounds a bit corny, but it's meant to be somewhere that you can feel safe to come. If you've got a new baby and you're feeling like you need to just have someone to talk to, or if you need somewhere kind of calm to sit and feed your baby, or if you just need the baby change, we get people coming in with toddlers going, "Hi, can I use the loo?" And yeah, it's lovely. It's been a real kind of community thing as well as being a shop.
So what do you actually sell here?
What do I sell? Okay, so it isn't all just about baby wearing. I know, obviously, I could talk about that for ages, but... I have got so many things, and it's grown so much since July. I mean, I look at the photos and it was so empty when I first opened, but I've got wooden toys, I've got teethers, I'm just looking around, I've got nice nursery artwork from a lovely local lady called Lex Rogi, I've got muslins, clothes, I'm just looking around, loads and loads of soft toys. I love soft toys, so there's quite a lot of them going on. I've got baby sleeping bags, I've got weaning things, I've got swim stuff for babies, cloth nappies, bath stuff. There's tons, basically. There's lots and lots of stuff.
Anything you want, it's here.
But you specialise in baby slings. So what's so important about a baby sling?
So basically, most babies tend to want to be held. It's just a fact that babies, they've been carried in their mum's tummy for pretty much 9 months and they want to be held close. And what's nice about a baby carrier is it enables you to do that without aching your back, without constantly having to shift your baby, or without feeling, oh, I need to put them down so I can do whatever, whether it's eat food or load the dishwasher or look after my older child. And it's just such a useful tool. But it's very, very personal. They're like jeans. They fit everybody differently. And so many people, they go, oh, I'm not sure if it will work for me. So I'll get something, I don't know, on eBay, or I'll get something from the selling pages and they'll try it and it's not very comfy. So they're like, oh, it's not for me. And it's just about trying them and seeing. And it's very, very rarely the expensive one that's the most comfy. So many people come in expecting to spend X amount and then it's about £50 cheaper, because actually you don't have to pay lots of money to get a really comfortable carrier. And it's just about trying different ones. So here you can come along. I've got demo dolls if you don't want to try with your baby, or if you've, or if you're pregnant. So you can try them all out, see whether it fits you, how easy you find it to use. And then all of them have a 2-week trial period. So you have 2 weeks to use it as much as you like to make sure it's right for you and your baby. Because it's obviously a quite expensive purchase, depending on which one you're getting. And I want everyone to be completely happy with what they've bought. So I've always done this trial service with them.
I wish they were around when my children were young. I remember I had, well, my third was a baby, and that's 10 years ago this week. I had a hip carrier thing because, you know, the natural thing is to hold a baby on your hip and then you find that you're really putting your back out. And I felt that, so I had a hip thing, but a sling, which I assume can grow as the child grows. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes. So lots of them are suitable from day one. Most of the ones which are suitable from day one will fit to around probably 2 years. Some of them are designed just for little newborns, but a lot of them will fit to about 2 years and can do things like a back carry, a hip carry, facing outwards. There's lots of different options as baby gets bigger. So they're not something that's limited to just the first few weeks. They do kind of grow with baby. And actually, as they get more mobile, having a carrier as opposed to taking a buggy can be actually a bit more beneficial, because you're not having to push an empty buggy while chasing after a toddler.
Mm. And I'm looking around at them, and how easy are they to use?
I'm going to get you to try one in a minute, Rob. Okay, and we're going to get a photo.
That's a photo opportunity. Yeah.
They are really easy.
I'm glad you
asked. Really,
that question,
really
just...
easy. Lots of people say, oh gosh, I can do it on my own. It would be crazy if you had to have somebody to help you, because the whole point is it's meant to give you a hands free so you can use it on your own.
Well, we've done some acting together, especially in the panto, and you know my coordination is not brilliant.
This is why I'm going to choose you, the one that I think is going to work best for you, Geoff.
Can't wait.
Brilliant. Well, Romy, it's been great to talk to you. I think, you know, what you've been doing over the last year has been incredible for young parents, because I remember when my children were young, you know, you're at home on your own a lot of the time with a young baby, and sometimes you just need that extra support, that extra ear to talk to, you know, that's a bit of socialisation and a bit of sort of help to confirm that you're doing the right thing. And to have that here in Petersfield, we're very lucky.
Thank you very much.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I can't believe that we live in such a idyllic place.
The Peapod.
Thanks to Romy Hunt for hosting the Peapod this week.
Susie loves her wild walks, and so do we. She celebrates her 100th wild walk this week with a trip to the Severals. And as she did on her very first wild walk, she gets lost.
Yes, it was a pheasant. Did you hear it? Good girl. I'm just on my own with Rain. We're on our way to pick up the foster dog, and I like to walk her at the Severals. I haven't really come here before, and it's wonderful. I want to know why it was called that. I mean, we all know what the word actually means, but usually words had different meanings, didn't they, when they're ages ago. But it's wonderful. We walked down and nearly reached the river, so it was jolly lucky we didn't have our little water baby with us. And then there was a sort of morass, and she would have definitely been in that. But Rain's being as good as I expect. Good girl. And waiting while I'm chatting here. But I thought I would just explore with you the Severals. So I'm going to walk and talk as usual. There's usually a sort of loose spaniel when I've been here before. There's a sort of a demented black cocker that just sort of thunders through. And I've never seen its owner, none of us have. But it seems to know what it wants to be doing, and it keeps turning up. So presumably it knows where to go and rest its head at night. And it reminded me of a dog that we used to have in the village when we lived in Titchfield, who would come down from the council estate, reasonable way, maybe a 10-minute walk, along South Street, where we lived, to the butcher, would collect his bone for the day and walk back to his house with it. And it was rather wonderful. There are some ancient sort of broadleaf trees in here and a lot of fir. Right, I'm walking on now. I was being given a very old-fashioned stare by you-know-who, meaning you need to crack on or else we'll be late picking her up. I don't know if we can go that way. And all the paths seem to be taking us off right, and I know we have to go left. If I could hear a car, I'd know roughly where the road was. So in other words, the whole reason why I started recording this is because it's like the old days. So if you remember when I began all these walks, I used to get lost regularly. Well, so I have again. Last time it was the other side of the road, and I didn't have my phone with me, so I couldn't record it anyway. And this time I'm on the other side. And this just goes on for miles and miles. I think you could walk probably into Midhurst. I'm sure you could, this way. There are some wonderful houses. And last time I did it, the weather was a lot warmer. Although it's sunny, it's not too warm yet. But I think next week is getting a lot better. Good, look, Rain, there's a left turn. Let's go left. Good girl. Anyway, so with the three of us were walking down here and I heard splashing and children's voices, and I realised there was a sort of pool party going on in one of the houses, which I thought, oh, that's splendid. And then, of course, I suddenly thought, water baby. And she had the glint in her eye, but actually she's now got so good. And I just did one burst of the stop whistle. She hasn't quite mastered the stop because that's a sort of gun dog thing. So Rain stops and sits, but I don't demand it of her because she doesn't know that. She comes to me and sits in front of me, so that's good. Right, good. So there's lots of holly. I hope there might be some bluebells, but I think there are too many fir trees in here. So the soil is covered, I mean, the path's quite dry on the whole, apart from the morass, and it's covered in sort of dead needles. Oh, and actually there's a grey cloud up there, isn't there? So it's actually rather pleasant underfoot. Shall we try this one? This is where I always go wrong. Rain gave me the look of, no, I think you'll find the car is up here, and then I trust her and we just get more and more lost. Anyway, I shall leave you now. Just with this thought that you may never hear from me again. I should be wandering the Severals for several months. Anyway, have a lovely week.
If you're interested in joining our volunteer team, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us on 01730 555 500 or send an email to team@shineradio.uk.
Coming up, the Generation Green team talk to Katrina Coburn from the Petersfield Climate Action Network and the What's On Guide. But first, if you've become a new parent over the last year, Emily and Ryan Watts can relate in their pandemic parenting programme.
So something that we want to touch on over the coming weeks and months is actually a little bit about pandemic parenting. It's something that I think that goes to the heart of a lot of people right now, and particularly those that have started families within the pandemic, but I think just the broad spectrum of families through from toddlers to teenagers. Families have struggled during this pandemic to cope with the massive change in family dynamics and family life.
So yeah, over the past year and a little bit now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Things have been very different, difficult, and people have had to adapt to all of their ways of life for different things. Obviously, starting a family is a huge step. And we've definitely found that the best help and support that we've had is just come from talking about it and talking to people about it. And that's what we thought we'd want to do here. We want to share our experiences and say that we're here as an ear for others as well.
Oh, no, definitely. Absolutely. So one of the things in particular we found with lockdown, and I'm sure lots of people feel the same, but suddenly from 23rd of March, you went from having a really diverse range to your day to suddenly every day was the same. And you saw the same four walls. You were allowed out to the shops once a day for the bare minimum. And at the time we had a 2-month-old. So routine wasn't really a big thing at that point. But obviously, as he grew older, but the pandemic sort of rumbled on, we established a routine. And one of the things we found now that we are in a year later and restrictions are easing is that we have found that that routine has really embedded itself in our lifestyle, because there was nowhere to go and nothing to do, and we had no other option. His routine became such a huge part of our day, and it just became entrenched in our daily lives.
Yeah, and some of that is done as well, isn't it? When you talk to people or you read anything about being a parent, they always say that routine is great.
Routine
and routine is fantastic, and I'm sure it is. But also, if you speak to practicing parents, from what I found, is like, that is great, but then you need a case of flexibility. What happens if X, Y, or Z happens, or you need to do this? But during the pandemic, we didn't have X, Y, or Z, so we really are entrenched in that. This is wake up time if he sleeps that long, but definitely meal times and tea time,
bedtime's always the same time. You have a bath at this time, and he goes to bed at this time, and he has a bottle at this time, and we're suddenly sort of starting to feel, particularly recently, as we have been able to venture out a tiny bit more and meet up with a couple of more people, that we almost don't know how to be non-pandemic parents. We don't know how to get out of this routine that we've managed to get ourselves in somehow.
It is difficult. You're suddenly facing this time where you're able to go and see someone outside. So, you know, we want to go and see our family. They haven't seen much of Thomas since he's been born because of the situation. And all of a sudden we're caught in this guilty trap of being, oh, well, that's great, we want to see you, but oh, don't forget, we've got to eat at this time and we have to leave at this time.
He has to sleep at this time.
Because he has to sleep for this long at this time.
Because it's all we've ever known. This is the only parenting situation we've ever been in. We've not got the benefit of either having had another baby or him being older, or this is it for us. This is pandemic parenting is the only type of parenting we've ever known. So it'll be interesting coming out of it now for us.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be fantastic and great, but it really is a hurdle. And like I said, there is that guilt to it. And I think hopefully,
100%, yeah,
over time that will subside. And you know, I think if there might be other people out there who are feeling the same, it's a case of you are not alone. We've become entrenched in that and we know how that feels, and I'm sure there are many people out there who do.
Now that's a great new show from Emily and Ryan Watt. If you'd like to hear more of their pandemic parenting program, you can find it on Tuesday mornings in Rise and Shine from 6 to 10 a.m.
And if you have a pandemic parenting story you'd like to share with Emily and Ryan, call 01730 555 500 or email team@shineradio.uk.
Now, as life opens up again, here are a few things going on in our area.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
The Rosemary Foundation is holding a socially distanced cake and jigsaw sale on Saturday, 1st of May, from 11 to 1 outside their headquarters at 35 Lavant Street. They will also be serving tea, coffee and cold drinks if you'd like to stop by to say hello, all in a COVID-safe environment.
The East Hampshire Lottery is celebrating its first birthday. Since its launch, the lottery has raised more than £18,000 for the local community, and more than £3,000 has been given away in winnings. You can win weekly cash prizes up to the jackpot of £25,000 for just £1 per ticket. 50% of the £1 ticket goes directly to the cause of your choice, with an additional 10% going to the community fund to further support local good causes. To buy a lottery ticket, or if you have a non-profit good cause you'd like to sign up for free, go to easthantslottery.co.uk.
It's the Farmers Market this coming Sunday from 10 till 2 in the Market Square, bringing you the best of Hampshire's food and drink direct from the producers.
And of course, there's always your local radio station, Shine Radio, to listen to. With a brighter mix of music, local news and weather, there is also a wide variety of programmes to choose from.
This week, why not tune in to the local showcase? Mandy P plays a selection of tracks released and performed by local musicians every Thursday evening from 9 till 10. We end every Peapod with a song by a local artist, and that's thanks to Mandy.
Find the local showcase and other programmes on shineradio.uk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide at shineradio.uk.
Young reporters Sasha Fairweather and Meg Allen co-host Generation Green, a monthly programme about environmental issues that matter to them and practical ways we can help the planet.
They met with local environmental activist Katrina Coben, who is part of the newly formed Petersfield Climate Action Network, or PCAN for short, and asked how the youth network in our area can get involved.
What is PCAN overall, and what are the longer term goals that you're hoping to achieve?
The group is basically being formed by local environmental campaigners, concerned residents and concerned councillors. Our mission really is to help Petersfield and surrounding villages reduce their carbon emissions and protect nature. And we just became a charity at the end of December.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. That's really recent. I think it's so nice to, and really reassuring to know that we've got organisations like PCAN in this area, so that people listening to Shine Radio and people in the Petersphere know that there are organisations that they can turn to sort of get their first steps for beginning to be a little bit more environmentally conscious. I think it's a really good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's quite an ambitious goal. So our long-term goal is for Petersfield to become carbon zero by 2030, which actually means that Petersfield won't emit any more carbon into the atmosphere. So, yeah, that is an ambitious goal, and we believe that we can achieve this.
So Meg and I have been looking through some of the web pages for PCAN and the Facebook page and things like that, and we saw the word emergency crop up quite a bit, the climate emergency and the state of our planet right now. So could you just elaborate a little bit on why we're in a climate emergency and why this matters so much?
An emergency needs an immediate response, and it needs to happen urgently. And actually, the climate crisis has to be dealt with now. I used to work in accident emergency, and if a patient came in that needed emergency treatment, we treated it as such. We treated the patient immediately. And had we not done that, there's potential for catastrophic consequences. I just believe that is exactly the same with the climate emergency. I also believe that Petersfield can respond to an emergency. And what we've seen in the COVID situation is that Petersfield have been an amazing community coming together and helping each other. You know, through this difficult time, we've seen people of all ages from all voluntary sectors and town council and, you know, working tirelessly to just help those that have needed help. And it's been amazing to see. And I just feel that Petersfield can do the same to tackle the climate and nature emergencies. And on a positive note, there are solutions out there and we can do it.
Yeah.
But we haven't got time to waste.
So can you say more about the youth network at PCAN or just in the Petersphere in general?
I think what was really inspiring for many Petersfield residents was the Strike for Climate. You know, Greta Thunberg, she has really put the climate crisis on international and the local agenda. And it was great to see the School Strike for Climate, you know, local schools represented. Mm. We saw churches and Ditcham and TPS, and there were some local primary schools, and it was really great to see them have a voice. And in the early days of PCAN, we kind of sat around over Zoom and we realised that we weren't a very representative of all ages, but we are very aware of some of the amazing things that were going on in schools, in eco clubs. Some of us had links to schools. And so we kind of set up a youth council, but it is a bit in its early days because of school lockdowns. The schools are all doing amazing individual things, but what PCAN wants to do is to kind of bring them together and support them in any projects that they want to achieve, really. And it also, it gives them sort of one voice together, doesn't it? So that is kind of in its early stages, but we hope that there'll be more of that sort of youth council.
That's great. So many more young people now are so keen to get involved with environmental activism and sustainability. So if anyone, but specifically young people, I guess, would like to volunteer, what would that look like in Corona times, in the home or outside of Corona times, once we see an end to this?
So there's really good things out there, and PCAN wants to help people make use of those. We've also, just to engage the local community, we've carried out a fruit tree in every garden project, which was really well received. And so this was subsidised by some councillor grants, so we were able to deliver some fruit trees, which is great for pollination, but really just to engage the local community into PCAN. And there's lots of ways you can volunteer with tree projects, and you know, we hope to maybe have some tree planting projects in the future. And then, you know, there are grants for local schools to make their schools more energy efficient for solar panels and things like that, and kids can really just get involved with what that means. things. And there's a great solar schools project where a child could make up their own solar panels on their schools and just really understanding what their carbon footprint is. The pandemic has taught us that we can change, and we can work from home to doing a bit more walking and enjoying our local environment rather than getting in the car and going out miles just to go for a walk when we've got the South Downs National Park on our doorstep. The biggest thing still to tackle is helping people understand that this is urgent, but not to get overwhelmed by it, but just become part of something that's exciting. It's the decade of delivery, I've heard someone call it. It's exciting times. It's exciting times of change. And I think why people don't come on board is because they don't know what part they can play. It's a bit overwhelming. But what's important to me is just bringing everyone on board so that we can all make a difference.
To find out more about PECAN, visit their Facebook page or email pecan.email@gmail.com.
Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey in Petersfield's Peapod.
So just before we end the show, Geoff has had a trying on experience, haven't you, Geoff? What are you wearing, Geoff, right now?
I'm actually wearing one of the slings, and I've got to say, I wish they were around when my boys were babies, because I'm feeling very comfortable. I don't know if it's natural, but I keep rubbing my tummy.
You've taken to it like a duck to water, Geoff. You look very comfortable with your baby
so
on your chest.
I'm turned sideways, talking into the microphone, with baby on my chest.
Multitasking.
I'm multitasking.
He has banged the baby head on the microphone stand. But it does look very comfortable. Does it feel comfortable?
Yes, and it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that difficult in getting on.
No, it didn't take you long.
Didn't take me long, which I was surprised.
Well, it's clear instruction from Romy.
Very clear instructions from Romy. And I reckon I could.
Could you do this every Peapod, do you think?
I could do this every Peapod.
It suits you, Geoff.
Thank you, Claire.
So we come to the end of this week's Peapod. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks also to our guests Romy Hunt, Emily and Ryan Watts, Meg Allen, Sasha Fairweather, Katrina Coburn, Susie Wild and John Walker, as well as the caring team at Shine Radio who support the show and help to put it together.
Are you having a hard time holding your script? We end the programme with a new single from South Sea singer Tash Hills called Come On. This is Tash's third single and can be found on all the usual social media platforms.
And next week, we meet John Bryant to learn more about the long history of the local family-run fruit and veg business, Bryant Brothers.
So from Geoff and I and his baby in a sling this week, bye!
When you walked in the room, heads turned to you. It's not your fault, but I know and I choose to walk away from you. I'm not here to keep my pretty eyes on you.
Your painful noise is a death to me now.
I'm not here to be your trophy.
Rise and Shine with Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Rise and Shine.
Whatever local information comes in, you'll be the very first to know.
You'll feel those ribs expand.
Okay, and then, I'm doing it.
Are you doing it?
Yeah.
Well, welcome back to Rise and Shine. You're with Alan Cott this morning.
What could be better?
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
I'm Harrison RB. It's the brighter way to start your day in the Petersphere.
As long as you're breathing, you're doing okay.
I'm with you, Vicky.
Rise and Shine, weekday mornings from 6 with Petersfield's Shine Radio.
I think that's lovely.